Please be seated. Good morning, and thank you for letting me be here to worship with you this morning. Andy, Ms. Ferguson introduced me, and I thank you for that. But I want y'all to know why I became a lay preacher. If you didn't know, I'm not ordained. I'm certified by the bishop, but not ordained. As he said, we've talked already, I'm the musician at the Arbor, and they asked me if I could play for them for 4 to 6 weeks until they found somebody permanent. You probably know how this goes. Well, that was 15 years ago. However, through the years, I've heard lots of Lutheran sermons. I didn't grow up Lutheran, but I've been forgiven for that. I knew that I'd found a place where I could worship God in a way that didn't contradict what I believed in my heart to be true. As we all know well enough, there's not enough preachers coming out of seminary to fill all of the retirement spots. So the lay preachers were put together and trained. We had a lot of Sundays when there was no supply available, and the musician played for an hour. They didn't want to take a break except to take the offering. They just want to keep singing, and that's fine. But even as good as that is, the service felt a bit empty. And I wanted to be able to fulfill, I wanted to fill the pulpit at my church when there was no supply available so that we would have someone in the pulpit. I was in the first cohort of lay preachers and was certified by the Synod May of last year. In our scripture lesson today, we're going to be talking about Jesus' calling. I had been called for a long time to get myself in the pulpit, but I kept finding excuses not to. But now that call up to the pulpit is being answered, and God has blessed it. Today's gospel reading is a very familiar story, and as with familiar things, we sometimes forget the details. If I fall off this little step, somebody come help me. So, since we maybe have forgotten some of what's happened in the early part of Matthew, we'll give a quick review. A very quick review. We had the birth of Jesus, the wise men visiting, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus escaping to Egypt to avoid the massacre of infants. And then the angel that appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." We have John the Baptist proclaiming in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." We have Jesus coming to John in the wilderness to be baptized. We have Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. These are the sermons that we've heard in the past, or for some of them in the past few Sundays. And the story continues with Jesus beginning his ministry in Galilee. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, is what my Bible says, but I've read somewhere it said the Lake of Galilee. I'm going to call it the Sea of Galilee. He saw two guys fishing with nets. We saw with this net that I drug up here that it gets tangled on its own. And if you're using it, it's going to get torn and it has to be fixed. But you can catch more fish with a net than with a hook. Fishing today is sport for most. Any fishermen? Two. Okay. All right. Today, most people fish for sport, some for necessity of putting food on their own table, and others are commercial fishermen. My mom and daddy loved to fish as good as anything they ever did. And I'm one of six kids, and they would take all six of us fishing with them. And if we said we didn't want to go, they'd say, "Oh, it's relaxing," they'd say. "It's fun," they expounded. provides food for dinner on the table tonight. They did not, however, mention mosquitoes, gnats, snakes, poison ivy, rocks with no flat place to sit on it. It seemed like every rock around High Rock Lake was pointed on the top. But anyway, they didn't mention the sunburn, because back in those days it was just a thing. And they didn't mention the boredom that we were going to be going through if we didn't enjoy fishing. I was the third of six, so I was kind of in the middle to help herd the little ones and obey the older sisters. We made it through all that. But throughout the whole day, we'd hear from one or the other of our parents. They'd say, "Well, you guys sit still. You're scaring the fish away." We didn't have any idea what they were talking about. We weren't doing anything. We had a branch off of a tree about 6 feet long, full of leaves, and we were waving it around to swat the mosquitoes away, we thought. And being a kid, every once in a while, when you go around, you drop it, it falls in the water. So we pick it up and we shake it real hard over the water, all the water on the leaves falling back in the lake. We thought we'd done good until Daddy would scream over and say, "Well, you kids go sit over there. You're scaring away all the fish." We thought we were doing okay, as kids do. It's no surprise if after hearing this, you've concluded that I really don't like to fish. My brothers have even tried through the years to show me a better way to fish that guaranteed I would enjoy it. It didn't work. I didn't like that either. But I do enjoy going to the fish market to successfully bring home a haul of fish. It takes a lot of work. If you've got a fishing pole like that, you're probably not going to catch anything. But if you have a good fishing rod and reel, you might catch one at a time. And if you go to the beach and cook fish with three hooks, you might catch three at a time if the fish are really running. But it's a lot of work either way. The nets are heavy. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two guys fishing with a net. This was no nylon net like I had this morning. I think we can safely say it was totally organic. Organic things are sometimes heavy. What would you make a net out of? I really don't know. I went and bought that little one I had. Fishermen letting down their nets and drawing them up again for a whole day of work is a lot of work. The nets were heavy before the fish ever got in them. Once they were full of fish, they were doubly heavy. They're working hard to catch fish, to sell to others, to feed their family. It's their livelihood. I can imagine they were all tired, sweaty. And what does a fisherman smell like? Fish. And now they're tired, but this guy standing on the shore is calling to them, and the brothers thought, "Well, maybe this guy's wanting to buy some of our fish." But Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't ask them to come. He didn't order them to come. He didn't beg them to come. He just said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." If we were on our job and somebody came by and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fish for people," we'd probably call somebody in a white coat to have them removed. But when we think about it that way, it probably makes us a little bit uncomfortable, because I don't know that I'd have left the barbershop if I didn't know who was talking to me and making the offer. We need to think about that a bit. But Jesus is walking along with these two guys. By the way, were Peter and Andrew. They were brothers. That's the first two guys. Jesus saw two other brothers mending their nets. Again, the nets are from organic material, and they had to be mended often. Here Jesus called them, and here these two brothers, James and John, again immediately left the boat and the father and followed him. The two guys that fished, do y'all have a boat? It's a big hole in the water where you can pour all of your money. But hey, if you're going to fish, you need a boat or a good net and some way to get out there. James and John left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. At this point, Jesus has called his first four disciples. Have you ever wondered why Jesus chose fishermen? Why not? Fishermen are strong, determined, good work ethic, patient, persistent. They smell like fish. Look back at the followers of Jesus all through our biblical history, and you don't find perfect people. The followers of Jesus have come from every quarter, from every area, every economic background, every social background, everything, everywhere, following Jesus. Let's think back about some of the biblical figures that we know and are familiar with. The created man, Adam. Noah, through the flood, Samson, Moses, King David, Peter over in the New Testament, and the list goes on and on. A lot of these big biblical figures disobeyed God, and they had to pay the consequences for that. When they had all repented, God, the creator of all that is, forgave them all. And he used them to spread his love and good word. Along these lines, I'm going to take time to tell you all a story about my friend Raul, who lives in Puerto Rico. He was in the United States. He came to immerse himself so he could learn English better. On a beach trip several years ago, we took our friend Raul with us. As in Puerto Rico now, he's still recovering from aftershocks of the earthquake. But while Raul was here, he wanted to see the beach. And I thought, you grew up on an island. Surely you know what the beach looks like. And he said, now I'm not making fun of him with his imitating his accent, but it makes me happy. He said, Victor, the beach in Puerto Rico, you walk through the trees and through the bush, and poof, there's the beach. You cannot see it before you get there because everything grows down to the beach. And he wanted to see a temperate beach where the trees didn't grow down to the ocean, where it did frost and freeze and things changed. So we took him with us. Okay, you've already determined that I don't like to fish. But on this particular trip, I had taken my saltwater fishing gear. And you don't like to fish? What are you doing with that? Okay, I borrowed it. The first day at the beach, have you ever gotten there and you think, oh, this is so beautiful? And then you look at the water, it's like seaweed. Lots of seaweed. Far as you can see, seaweed. That's what we had. But Raul wanted to fish. He had never used a rod and reel. He had never used a fishing pole, even similar to that one. So he got my tutorial. Raul was determined to cast his bait out further than I had. He forgot one little thing, and that was where you hold the fishing line with your finger and you cast and you let go. He didn't let go. So the line snapped. With that mighty effort, and the line just went end over end, further on out in the water, it was gone. Hook, line, and sinker. That's where that came from. All right, here you learn the extent of my willingness and my desire to just really fish. I didn't bring any fishing tackle. Well, I had to go get some, but anyway, Raul turned around when the line snapped. He said, Victor, what happened? I said, Raul, you didn't let go of the fishing line. My friend Raul was a little over-trusting of me, as I am that kind of friend, to pull a prank when it presents itself. So I told him, I said, Raul, In this country, if you lose a hook where people swim, you've got to go get it so a swimmer doesn't get hurt. Victor, this will be very serious, very difficult. I said, yes, it is. And you threw it out there. You can go get it. It's going to be difficult indeed. I let the man take his shoes off, his socks off, his shirt off, his t-shirt off. And then while he was standing in the sand barefoot, I said, Raul, I'm just messing with you, man. You don't have to get that hook. Well, Raul was not amused at my humor. And he didn't speak to me for an hour or so, but he did forgive me when I apologized. Later in the week, we did buy more fishing tackle, just one set. We weren't hoping for a whole lot. And I took Raul to the sound side of the Outer Banks. Yeah, I know how to fish, and I know where to fish. It's just not my thing. But anyway, we filled up a 5-gallon bucket, and Raul was very happy with that. Raul was afraid of not performing well with his new fishing rod. He felt intimidated. Sometimes we may feel a bit intimidated, but we need to remember this. When we are serving God, we should never, ever have any fear of being a failure. God made us all as we are, warts and all. He knows that as humans, we're weak and sinful by nature. But God took care of that also. Jesus came and ministered to the world himself. Jesus died himself. Jesus rose from the grave again himself. And Jesus paid the price for our sins to be forgiven himself. God loves us. God is calling us. Will we follow and become fishers of people? In this area, it's okay to use a fishing pole with a hook and catch one at a time. That's okay. Just keep fishing. Be persistent. Stay with it. And spread the good news. Okay, being our weak, sinful human selves, we always want to find a reason why we cannot do that. I just don't have what it takes. I'm not worthy. God, you can't use me. I'm not worthy. And this is something I told my children. Who told you you're not worthy? Because you are. Being a child of God, we are forgiven. If we are forgiven, then we are worthy to not only follow, but also to share the good news. And yes, we will be given everything we need to do what God is calling us to do by God. We are indeed worthy by God's grace to follow him. And he won't lead us astray. We're also worthy to spread the good news. Jesus says to us, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Amen.